you for saying hello. It's all right. Righty, so we just had International Women's Day. And this month, we speak of things that impact and affect the women in our society and our community. And this woman, I've seen her all over my social media, met her in person. What you see is what you get, and that's what I like about her. And she's championing a cause. She's championing a cause that affects a lot of people, but you don't hear a lot of people speaking about it because of the nature of it. She calls herself an endo warrior, endo lioness. Katrina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Cashew. Good morning, Barbados.
Wait, what's going on, dear? I know that you got a stronger and a bigger voice than that, so let's go again. Katrina, good morning.
Good morning, Cashew. Good morning, Barbados.
There we go. Endometriosis. I pronounced it right. I got it right.
Correct.
Yeah, I know it's short and it's abbreviated a lot because, you know, people get tired.
Yeah, it's a big
people,
word.
By people, I mean me. But what is it, and what's the impact that it has on? What's the impact it has on women?
Okay, endometriosis affects 1 in 10 women, and this condition is a condition that where the lining that normally lines the inside of the uterus grows outside of the uterus. So it can be anywhere in the body. You can have it on the arms, legs, lungs, back, intestines, bowels, urinary tract. Anywhere the deposits go, you can have endometriosis. So it's not a localized condition like fibroids.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's no cure for the condition.
So I find that you're out there, you're being this voice, this champion for it. Did you realize that there weren't enough people talking about it? Was that it?
Well, to be honest, from personal experience, I grew up thinking that it was okay to have painful periods because, you know, back in the day, it was taboo if you don't have a period associated with pain, you don't got a period.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, I got accustomed and I got comfortable thinking that that was the norm until when I was 29. I won't say how old I am now, but when I was 29.
A couple years past that, huh? Okay.
When I was 29, I was at the Ministry of Health at the time, and I had this excruciating pain from nowhere. I didn't have the menstrual at the time, but the pain that was associated with what I was feeling, the cramps and stuff like that, felt like when I have a really bad period.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the hospital. Actually, I went to the doctor first, and then they referred me to the hospital, and I was treated for a ruptured ovarian cyst at the time. Pain subsided, obviously, with the IV medication and all the treatments I would have been given at the QEH. And then 6 weeks later, the same thing again. And it was like, we had ultrasounds, everything was fine. And they saw nothing. They just saw a bit of fluid from the first admittance, and that was it. And the pain continued. It started to get worse. And then one day came home from work, took a shower, laid in bed, and that was it. Could not move after that.
Was it the pain that had you immobilized? Or?
Yes, the pain had me bedridden. Like, it had to be actually lifted out of the bed.
Wow.
So when I went to the outpatient appointment, I could not walk. So I literally had to be wheeled in a wheelchair for the appointment. So at the time, I was seeing Dr. Chatrani. So when he saw me, he was like, oh, this patient can't go home because the pain was that bad. And it was literally like bent over.
Wow.
So I was scheduled for emergency surgery next morning. Then to find out that I have this thing called endometriosis.
Had you heard about it before?
I've never heard about it. I've been in the medical field. I've never heard about endometriosis till my diagnosis.
Wow.
Never. I never heard a female say, oh, they have endometriosis. It was nothing out there to indicate that, oh, maybe I might have this. Let me try to see if a doctor can look and see if this is what I have, because based on what I would have heard other women going through, it was nothing like that.
Well, so, okay, you were diagnosed with this here. Now, obviously, the doctor knew what to look for, so it's something that was out there, but it's nothing that really that you didn't have any information on it.
No, to me, I find that for endometriosis, it's very dormant in Barbados. We would find women in Barbados mostly having like fibroids, PCOS, cysts, adenomyosis, which is the cousin to endometriosis, and our uterine fibroids, those kind of common gynecological issues. But a lot of women in Barbados have endometriosis. The numbers are growing. And for me, at the time, going through my journey and my process and stuff like that, I started meeting women then with endometriosis.
Is it that the numbers are growing, or is it that more people are being diagnosed, or more people know that, okay, this may be a possibility? As you said, when you're growing up, you're told a painful period, that's the norm, you know. So then if you don't think that there's something else out there, you're just going to think it's the norm. So is that the case? Perhaps it's just more people?
Well, a lot of adolescents now are coming down with it. So for me, you don't have to wait till you're 20 and 30 and stuff like that to know you have endometriosis. It can start from the first period. So normally now you'll find a lot of teenagers that are into sports and stuff like that. Could be a regular student, you know, when it's time to have the menstrual cycle, they have to be at home because the pain is that bad. And I remember spending my menstrual cycle in the sick bay at school in between periods and stuff like that because the pain bad, you're vomiting. So there are so many things associated, because sometimes when the pain is that bad, you have this nauseous feeling. So some people vomit, some people just feel nauseous. You get headaches, you get cramps, you get paralysis in the legs. So there are so many different things that can happen when you experience a period. And then there are other women that lives in pain daily. So there are some that have it just when they have the menstrual cycle, and then there are some that literally lives with endometriosis pain.
Now, you mentioned, and I'm glad you made reference to the athletes and stuff, because we are in sports term now. You know, we have the NAPSAT, well, perhaps maybe not for them, because they're the younger ones, but BSAC, of course, that starts tomorrow. We already had the sports. How would you then speak to the young ones, to those now, especially those that are now experiencing their first cycles, that may be experiencing that pain? How do you then get them to, one, speak about it, and two, because I guess you have to have that conversation with the parents and guardians as well, how do you get them to then grab it, nip it in the bud? I mean, it can't be cured, but at least know how to handle it.
For me, I think that we need to be more proactive than reactive. And I find that sometimes parents stray away from actually looking at the problem. Sometimes I know I would have talked to parents where they say, oh, back then I thought that my daughter was just don't want to go to school. And then they have parents that compare. And for me, I always get in this argument or this debate with parents, because a parent might have two daughters. One was perfectly fine. The other one having the pain and stuff like that. So they would say, oh, but Keisha had this problem. Keisha had this pain. Suck it up and stuff like that. But I try to let them understand that they are two different individuals. So what might work for the goose can work for the gander. You understand? It's two different spectrums, two different eras, 2 different years, probably 2 different fathers. Because sometimes people say that endometriosis is hereditary.
Is it?
So, I don't know, because for me, I asked my mother if she had issues with her period. My mother was fine. My grandmother was fine. But then, when I look at my auntie had a lot of issues and stuff like that with her period and stuff like that, even with her fertility and stuff like that. And then I have a cousin that, when we were younger, would have periods like for 2 months and stuff. And I'd be like,
but these were never diagnosed.
No, everybody just brush it off. Because they say, oh, you can bleed or whatever, you know. But to me, I think that we need to be more aware as women with our bodies. Because we tend to think that, oh, it's probably just a bad period or, you know. And then the cliques that we surround ourselves with, especially teenagers, oh, they don't want to come out and say anything because they want to fit in. They don't want to be different. But for me, I dare to be different. I love to be different.
Well, we know that there. We can talk about that there too. And we're going to talk about how she champions the cause as well. It's 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Katrina's going to stick around. She's not going anywhere. I made sure that I booked her, got that clear that schedule so that she can't leave here. Security already got your door locked. When I'm away, man, it's like rockers, lovers rock, Estelle, Sean DePaul, back when he had hair. 21 minutes to 9 o'clock. And it's spelled N-E-N-D-O-M-E-T-R-I-O-S-I-S. For someone that was asking, how is it spelled? E-N-D-O-M-E-T-R-I-O-S-I-S. Endometriosis. Katrina, we continue our conversation. We started before the news and we were talking about the challenges that you face and the challenges that so many other, especially young people, face in Barbados. Let's talk about your advocacy, about how you go about this here, because you have your Facebook page set up, you go around, you're speaking to people, not only here, but overseas as well. Yeah. How, firstly, what really prompted you to really say, you know what, I'm going to take up this charge, I'm going to take up this challenge, I am going to be that voice, because you're not the only one that has it. Other people would have had it before you, other people would have been aware. Why did you think that you needed to be that voice?
For me, I think that I needed to make the change when it comes to sensitization and awareness. Because here it is, you have a condition that you would have lived with all your life. You didn't have anybody to tell you, well, this is what it is, for you to then seek early detection. Because I believe if you have early detection, then your treatment options are better than someone that has had it all their life. Was never treated, just taking pain medication or whatever treatment was given at the time by the physicians. When I found out, I was talking to Dr. Bayo. He's an African doctor. And I found that Dr. Bayo, when it comes to endometriosis, he's very proactive. So, you know, I would have spoken to him in relation to my treatments as well. What were my treatment options? We would have discussed it and see how better we could come up with a solution. Because I find patients accept treatment, but they don't indulge in what the treatments are to see if it is going to make you better, if it's going to harm you. Mind you, you go through so much different medications to find the one that works for you. Because
I'm guessing you would have gone through a whole heap of them for years.
Look, my medicine cabinet was like a pharmacist had lived there. I tell you, all kind of medications from morphine back down to paracetamol.
So from what?
Morphine.
In your cabinet?
Yes.
Wow.
So you can imagine the pain that was going on.
But let me ask this question. Because you mentioned Dr. Bayo.
Yeah.
But before you got to him, you went to doctors. How many, do you know? Can you remember how many doctors you went through?
When I first started out, I started with Dr. Bennett as a teenager. And then I went on to Dr. Welch. And then I went on to Dr. LaFon. I would have seen other doctors in between there, but I stuck with Dr. LaFon. So Dr. LaFon was my last stop. And I always say, find a doctor that is willing to treat you, because most treatments for endometriosis just be band-aids, in my opinion. Because over time, things stop working.
Well, let me... Do doctors they need, because I know that you go around speaking to the lay person, you speak into to the teenagers, you're speaking to the parents, but do doctors then need to be educated more about it? I'm talking about the GPs and the OBGYNs. Yeah. Do you think that and without calling, because we don't even call about it.
Yeah.
But you know, do you think that they know enough about it?
I think that our treatments in Barbados are behind. I find that we need more endo specialists, because every gynecologist may not be a gynecologist to deal with endometriosis because of how complicated endometriosis is. Mm. A GP, for me, I think I will go to a GP if I have a flu, those kind of stuff. But once you're dealing with gynecology, I think your best option is to find a gynecologist that is well equipped.
But I mean, to be fair, they may not know that it runs that deep. So yeah. You may just say, all right, guys, let me go and see the GP and see what happens. Right. So, but I think perhaps they should be at least educated. If you see certain indicators, you know.
But I think the major setback for endometriosis and the diagnosis is because with adenomyosis, fibroid cysts, those are things that you can see with the ultrasound. Mm. With endometriosis, the only diagnosis, concrete diagnosis you can have is with a laparoscopic surgery. And this is a keyhole surgery where you actually go into the abdomen with a camera and you see the deposits in the abdomen. You cannot see it on ultrasound. So that is the major setback. And to have that is very expensive.
Wow. So some people may just be willing to say, or you know what, forget it.
Yeah.
Let me just put on the Band-Aid. Yeah. Let me just try to cure the pain.
Because mostly some women with endometriosis as well, you would find a lot of women getting terminated from work because of the sick days and stuff that they need to take out. So sometimes, even though if a woman wants treatment, she can't have it because she doesn't have the funds to facilitate the treatment that she needs.
You need the money, but you can't get the money because you don't have the work. So it's catch-22.
And then, for most endo patients with severe endometriosis, there's a GnRH injection is a chemotherapy injection. They use it for breast cancer and prostate cancer. So women with severe endometriosis goes on this treatment for 6 months. If you're attached to the hospital, you have to do an SDA form, and it has to go before the board and all that red tape.
Oh, so this is a lengthy process.
Depending on the severity. Mm. If you have to buy it outside, the cheapest you might find it in a pharmacy is like $375, and this is only one shot, and it takes a six month course. So it's once every month for 6 months. So you do the math.
Okay, we need some funds. All right, what's the response been like? How many years have you been advocating?
Three years. Yeah.
What's the response been like? Are you seeing a change in attitudes? Are you seeing more people willing to open and say, hey, I have this, or I support this? I know, because I had my yellow shirt and I did it last year. I'll do it again this year. Are you really getting that support you need? Is it at the level you think it should be?
I think the support needs to be more of a society impact. Because for me, I think that there's this stigma attached with society. When a woman has a situation going on with her abdomen or her pelvic, everybody thinks that something is wrong with the woman. Basically, I would have had conversations with women that would have said, people say the belly bad, all kind of things. So for me, I think a lot of people don't come out and talk about it because of the stigma. But you would find people would write, inbox me, send me messages, share the stories and stuff like that. We have the Scars and Kiefer show. Mm-hmm. So me and Eric Lewis, Queen, we co-host a show on Facebook Live. And this year, I switched it up a bit because we are actually having stories sent in.
Nice.
So I would read out the story and then we would discuss it. Because as I say, some women are afraid to come out and be known or be seen as a person that has this condition based on the stigma.
All right, we are live on Facebook and Instagram, VOB929. We have a question. You going to share it with us, Xenia? Let me put on Xenia's microphone there. Go ahead.
Someone's asking, can endometriosis be controlled?
Yes, it can be controlled, but for me, it's a process. As I say, you have to find what works for you. Me personally, I went through so many medications because, like, you might find that Tramadol works for you. I might take Tramadol and it doesn't even take anything off the pain, it's like a sweetie. So for me, I always say, find what works for you. Find a doctor that is willing to treat you or work with you. Sometimes women with endometriosis are seen as drug addicts because we go through so many different medications. Mm-hmm. But it's not that you want to go through all these medications, but at the same time, you want to still be able to live comfortable, not being bedridden. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to function because when you're in pain, you can't function. Mm-hmm. It affects everything from your mental health back down. So, you know, pain is nothing easy. And this year, our slogan is, it's time to overreact. Stop normalizing period pain.
Mm-hmm. And with that theme, how are you going about it? What are you doing to educate, empower? How are you really getting the word out there?
Well, we started our campaign, Stop Normalizing Period Pain campaign. We would have brought people on board from different areas of society. And we were having videos done, meals. And the thing about it is that this year is so different because I know endometriosis is a family disease. We think that is a woman disease. But it's a family disease because the trickle effect is on families, partners, and stuff. Especially when it comes to the male partner in the relationship. So this year we incorporated men. So we are having videos. I think you may have seen them. Endometriosis affects 1 in 10 women, therefore it also affects 1 in 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because these women have partners. Mm-hmm. So obviously if something affected me, and then there are women that actually have the endometriosis in their vaginal cavity, so it makes sex very painful. You might have a lot of bleeding during sex. So there are so many different things that can go on with endometriosis. So having the males on board this year is a plus. We are actually having 7 of the groups in Barbados, the car groups, because you know the guys love the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously girls love cards too.
There you go. Don't
understand. So I just need to make it clear that girls love cars too.
All right.
You know, stuff. So we actually have 7 of the car groups this year. We are doing a drive, Yellow Explosion, this Sunday. So it's good to have all the males on board.
Tell us about it.
Oh, well, it starts at Grantley Adams School at 1 o'clock. It's from 1 to 5. We're gonna have an after line at Brandon's. It's finishing at Brandon's. So we're gonna go through St. John, St. Philip, Christchurch, come around. But in the process, we'll be doing a lot of endo awareness. We'll be hanging out flyers, memorabilia, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, getting the public involved and stuff like that. Cause obviously sometimes it's not that people might hear. But sometimes when people in the quiet time, they read. So, yes. You know, so sometimes...
It's good to get that literature over there.
So it's easy to digest if you read it and hear it because, like, even the pronunciation or things that I may say might not really click. Mm. So if you actually read for yourself, then you get to understand what it is. And then you can probably look and see if there's any family members that you may see traits of, you know, these signs and symptoms of endometriosis, and then you can relate and have conversations.
All right, and this is a conversation I think we could have for a long time, but we got to wrap up now. But how can the public contact you?
Okay, you can contact me at EndoWarrior. This is our email, EndoWarrior246@gmail.com. We have our Facebook page, Katrina Endometriosis Fund Association. We have our IG page, Endo Lioness. And you can also contact us at 245-9162 or 844-4766.
The Endo Lioness, Katrina, thank you very much for sharing that information. Very engaging, and I know a lot of people are now looking at that period pain a little differently.
Yeah, they should.
Look at your body, take care of your body. Well, thank you very much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.